Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hillary Clinton hopes to become president. It's not enough that she scored a decisive first debate victory in the eyes of media analysts and high school debate coaches. Early polls are showing just a slight overall gain over Trump as a result, though more meaningful polls are still days away. But the Clinton campaign is increasingly concerned and acknowledging that the demographics of Americans who are for her aren't for her enough. Young adult voters of all races and Black and Latino voters of all ages. By and large, they can't stand Donald Trump, but they're not so enthusiastic about Clinton. For older Blacks and Latinos, the question is largely one of turnout. For younger voters, it's also turnout, but another big problem, too, for Clinton's numbers, anywhere from 20% to more than a third are currently leaning toward the third-party candidates, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. That explains why Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and Bernie Sanders were all out yesterday making Hillary's case to these particular constituencies who love the three of them more than they love the candidate. Here's Michelle Obama at LaSalle University in Philadelphia arguing to college students to reject the Green and Libertarian lines.
You could also help swing an entire precinct for Hillary's opponent with a protest vote or by staying home out of frustration. Because here's the truth. Either Hillary Clinton or her opponent will be elected president this year. And if you vote for someone other than Hillary, or if you don't vote at all, then you are helping to elect Hillary's opponent.
Michelle Obama yesterday, a little more on staying home from the president on Steve Harvey's radio show.
If you don't vote, that's a vote for Trump.
Wow.
If you don't vote, that's a vote for Trump. If you vote for a third-party candidate who's got no chance to win, that's a vote for Trump.
And a little more of the president was Steve Harvey making the case to vote Clinton if you care about him.
The notion somehow that, well, you know, I'm not as inspired because Barack and Michelle, they're not on the ballot this time, and, you know, maybe we kind of take it easy. My legacy's on the ballot. My, you know, all the work we've done over the last 8 years is on the ballot.
As for Bernie Sanders, he campaigned with Clinton, introduced her at a New Hampshire campaign event, also targeting younger voters.
So when you have Republicans telling us that it is okay to give tens and tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the richest people in this country, do not tell me that we cannot afford to make public colleges and universities tuition-free.
And he wants younger voters to spread the word.
So I am asking you here today not only to vote for Secretary Clinton, but to work hard to get your uncles and your aunts, to get your friends to vote. It is imperative that we elect Hillary Clinton as our next president.
So here's the question, listeners. If you voted for Bernie Sanders, where are you at today? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you voted for Bernie Sanders in the primaries, or if you just supported Bernie Sanders and didn't even vote in the primaries, just wanted Bernie Sanders, what are you thinking today? Are you going to vote for Hillary Clinton? Are you thinking about Gary Johnson or Jill Stein? Are you just meh and you might stay home? And there are very few, according to the polls, but some Bernie Sanders supporters are now for Trump, and you can call in if you're for him too. But if you were for Bernie in the primary season, where are you at right now? 212-433-WNYC. The answer to that question on a national level could be the difference in this election. 212-433-9692. With me for this is Politico's Edward Isaac Dovere. Hi, Isaac. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Always great to be here.
So how bad is it? Do you know the poll numbers?
Look, the poll numbers are – the public poll numbers are concerning for the Clinton campaign, and they are clearly concerned with what they're seeing from their own internal numbers about this the millennial vote, the younger vote, people who don't seem to think that their vote would make a difference for Clinton is part of it. People who are just not turned on in any real way by Clinton is another part of it. People who think that she is a relic of the past, both in terms of who she is and her politics, is another part of it. And all of those are factors that they need to fight against in order to get the turnout that they need in a lot of these battleground states that are the path to victory for her.
And some of the polls are worse than other of the polls with respect to millennials. And I guess I haven't seen ones that break it out specifically in terms of Bernie Sanders supporters. Maybe you have. But what's common is for them to break it out by age. And one is worse than the next. The ABC News Washington Post poll that came out last week found 23% of millennials are supporting either Gary Johnson or Jill Stein as of now, 23%.
Yeah.
And the CBS News New York Times poll finds even more, finds more than a third between Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. And for those of you in other age groups who think there aren't that many millennials, this is not such a big deal. Well, I don't know about voter turnout, but in the population, there are more millennials than baby boomers. So even though baby boomer has the word boom in it, which reflected the population boom, that's how that name came about, there are more millennials today. So this matters, this matters, this matters. So what was the point of yesterday politically?
The point is, look, when you have the president, the first lady, and Bernie Sanders, Clinton's primary opponent, all out saying essentially the same thing, if you listen to what they were saying in those clips you played, that is to say to millennials, wake up. You need to vote for Hillary Clinton if you care about things, and hoping that they can get that message through. It's not the last that we're going to hear of it. This is a big focus for the Clinton campaign. They are doing a lot of messaging on it and are trying to figure out ways that they can get through to voters that not by Hillary Clinton herself. President Obama, though, of course, he's a two-term president and he's not a millennial himself, is still very popular with that group of voters, and he is one of the main ways that they're going to be getting through to people, and the First Lady too. First Lady, I was at a campaign event that she did 2 weeks ago tomorrow in Northern Virginia, her kickoff event, and it was at a college campus, as were the events yesterday that she did in Pennsylvania. But even so, even with it on a college campus, it was striking how many younger people were there and the enthusiasm that they greeted her with. These are the messengers that they need to be making the case for them. And it seems like the president, the first lady, and Bernie Sanders are all on board to do it for the next 6 weeks.
Kyle in Roxbury, New Jersey, you're on the air. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, I was a Bernie Sanders supporter before, and I actually registered to vote in the primary. And now that there's this chorus of Democratic voices, you know, saying, if you care, vote for Hillary, it sounds to me more like pick the lesser of two evils. And I just don't want to do it anymore this time. And my vote's going for Jill Stein.
Well, from a Bernie perspective, he would say, this is hardly the lesser of two evils. If you're concerned about, you know, the rigged economy, for example, which we'll talk about more in depth later in the program, she's for all kinds of things. Tuition-free public college for 80% of Americans after Bernie kind of pushed her to that position. A tax hike for people making over $500,000 a year. Paid parental or family leave for both men and women for 12 weeks. A $12 federal minimum wage, which is not 15, but it's a lot higher than it is now. Expanding health insurance to more Americans. This is what Bernie is out there saying. Hillary's adopted all these positions. If you care about what he stood for, then you really want to get her in the White House and then keep working it. What would you say to that?
Well, I guess it just depends on if you believe that she'll follow through with all those promises. I grew up under, you know, George W. Bush, and you know, you paid attention to politics, you were a little younger, and Obama, you know, came up as a candidate, and he was kind of a pariah. He was, you know, all about change. And these past 8 years, it's not like Obama wasn't a great president, but I just didn't see the change that was talked about in those campaigns, and I just don't see Hillary following through as well.
So what do you like? What are you likely to do? Stay home or vote for a different candidate?
I think I'm going to vote for Jill Stein.
Kyle, thank you very much for checking in. Eileen in Montville, you're on WNYC. Hello, Eileen.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. So you voted for Bernie in the primary.
Yes. I am voting for Hillary for a number of reasons. I just really wanted to touch upon this kind of misogynistic, male chauvinistic attitude of Donald Trump. And I feel that for the entire country, it would be, you know, it would be dangerous for women for a guy like Trump to be in there because it's kind of contagious, this male chauvinistic attitude. I live in a rural area. I'm in Montville now, but I live in rural Sussex County, New Jersey, and there are a lot of Trump guys up there. And it's kind of that chest-pounding, I don't know, male chauvinistic mentality, I feel like. You know, it seems like a lot of the cops are supporting Trump. If I were a cop, I would be terrified of Trump becoming president with, you know, he wants to arm every American. I mean, there's just so many reasons not to vote for Donald Trump.
So can you take the next step, which is where I think the problem is for Clinton, and articulate a positive reason or set of reasons to vote for her, not just stop Trump because he's so scary?
Right. Well, obviously, you know, she's very experience in world affairs, and I think the rest of the world would respect us more if we vote for somebody like her. She's got some class, and she's got some clout. And I know a lot of people don't like her because she's a career politician, but you know, she does have experience dealing with other countries, and I think that the leaders of these other countries would much rather deal with somebody of her stature than Donald Trump.
Thank you for joining, for calling us, Eileen. We appreciate it. Let's just go right to another caller, a Bernie supporter in the primaries, Mike in New Hyde Park. Mike, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, I was going to support Bernie a while back, and that didn't pan out so well. So now I'm going with Jill Stein. I think it's the only respectable choice as a matter of principle, really. I mean, I know millennials, you know, people in my age group really like to be fringe. I've met a lot of people, especially in college, who, you know, they don't have a specific agenda in mind. They just like to kind of stick to the outside. So, you know, a lot of them supported Ron Paul when he was going. And a lot of them, like Gary Johnson, personally think you get Articles of Confederation kind of deal with him. So, I don't know. As a matter of principle, you go with Jill Stein if you're a young person.
And so for you?
Yeah, that's who I'll be voting for.
And what do you say to these folks who are here? Here's some tweets that are coming in response to the last Jill Stein caller saying, somebody writes, privilege incarnate. When your conscience matters more than thousands of people who quite literally can't afford to vote theirs. Or another one, choosing not to vote, well, that's not you, but choosing not to vote is also choosing an evil. You can't exempt yourself from civic responsibility. But but how about that first one? What were you thinking when you heard privilege incarnate when your conscience matters than thousands of people who quite literally can't afford to vote theirs?
It sounds a little harsh, and I've heard the criticism before, and there's probably merit to it. You know, I'm a white guy, so, you know, I get to do these things. And I get to operate probably with unconscious privilege all the time. But I refuse to vote for Clinton. I can't do it. I don't see anything other than an expansion of the neoliberal agenda with her. And, you know, you probably get Obama again with some more hawkish foreign policy. So, you know, based on the reading I've done and based on what's happened around the world under the neoliberal agenda, I just probably wouldn't be able to do it, so I have to go with Jill Stein this time. I voted for Obama, or I wanted to vote for Obama. You know, I was rooting for him. I wasn't, you know, of age to vote, and I really didn't see anything happen with that. You know, so maybe it's just time for putting a different spin on things.
Mike, thank you very much for your call. As we talk about the challenge for Hillary Clinton with millennials, Bernie Sanders voters, African-Americans and Latinos, a lot of demographics who do not support Donald Trump one little bit, but according to the polls, are not enthusiastic enough for Hillary Clinton to turn out in enough numbers to make her comfortable in the notion that she's going to defeat Donald Trump in the Electoral College in November, or many millennials, as we've been saying from the start of the segment, from 23% in the ABC News poll to more than 33% in the CBS News poll, saying they're going to vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. Edward Isaac Dover from Politico is with us as we talk about this. And Isaac, is it the most severe in some states? I was here in Colorado, for example, has a lot of Gary Johnson supporters in people under 35.
Yeah, that's a place where they're worried about it. Look, they need to – the Clinton campaign really needs to win Pennsylvania in order to have this be the competitive election that they want it to be and to have Clinton have a path to victory. That's why you had the First Lady making that case about millennial turnout in Pennsylvania yesterday. We're going to see a lot more of that and making it in cities where there is a high population of – people who might be turned toward Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. I think you'll also see it in North Carolina, where the college vote was crucial to President Obama winning that state in 2008. It wasn't there in those same numbers for him in 2012 when he didn't win North Carolina, even though obviously he was reelected. But look, this is there are people who are legitimately turn toward the policies of Gary Johnson and Jill Stein or are voting based on a protest with the system. But I do think that the problem that the Clinton campaign is seeing here is that they have not been able to get people to, even with such a big difference between Clinton and Trump and who they are and what they would do as president, to see it as a difference. And this is very similar to the problem that Al Gore had in 2000, when he failed to make people see that there was any legitimate difference between what he would have done as president and what George Bush would have done. And of course, a lot of people turned out to vote for Ralph Nader then, arguably enough to swing the election based on how you read what happened in Florida that year. And I think what we'll probably see more of from the Clinton campaign as this goes forward is trying to get people to think about that choice. And you know, people who had problems with George Bush being president and how he responded to the September 11th attacks, would Al Gore have done the same response? You know, it's one of those things that we don't know, but it's hard to believe that it would have been exactly the same if Gore had been president when all of that happened and the aftermath of it and Bush did. But that's that is something the Clinton campaign is struggling with, and it's part of the downside for her of having been around so long and having just because she is who she is to seem so much part of the establishment and so much part of just the status quo and way things are.
Edward Isaac Dover from Politico, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And in campaigning for Hillary Clinton over the last few weeks, President Obama has been sending a clear message to a particular group of his voters. If you still support my views and ideals, you will vote for Hillary Clinton, please. He made these comments 2 weeks ago at the annual Congressional Black Caucus Foundation Awards Dinner in Washington, for example. Here's 18 seconds.
My name may not be on the ballot, but our progress is on the ballot. Tolerance is on the ballot. Democracy is on the ballot. Justice is on the ballot. Good schools are on the ballot. Ending mass incarceration, that's on the ballot right now.
The president also addressed African Americans specifically in a speech at the Black Caucus dinner, saying he would be offended if black voters who supported his presidency didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
There's no such thing as a vote that doesn't matter. It all matters. And after we have achieved historic turnout in 2008 and 2012, especially in the African-American community, I will consider it a personal insult, an insult to my legacy, if this community lets down its guard and fails to activate itself in this election. You want to give me a good send-off? Go vote!
President Obama at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation Awards Dinner in Washington, and he made a similar case on Steve Harvey yesterday, and he's been talking specifically to black voters about the importance of voting for Hillary Clinton, among all the other appeals he makes to other groups. So our first call-in was for Bernie Sanders supporters in the primaries. Now we're going to turn the page and specifically invite black listeners who are registered to vote to call in and say, if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, or if you're going to stay home or vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. But the polls indicate not a lot of black support for the third party candidates, approximately a nice round number for Donald Trump. And you know what that nice round number is. But there is, the polls indicate, the potential for a turnout problem in black America for Hillary Clinton. So black listeners, 212-433-WNYC, if you voted for Obama, is he convincing you that it is important, if not as important, to vote for Hillary Clinton in November of this year as it was to vote for him? Call us and tell us how you're feeling. And I know a lot of you are going to call and say, yes, I agree with the president. We're also interested in hearing some of you who are a little more meh on Clinton and are actually considering staying home or voting another way. So black callers, these next few minutes are for you to respond to the president's appeal directly to you, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll take your calls after this, and we'll also update you on the train crash in Hoboken. Stay with us.
Talk is cheap.
I accept full responsibility for all unethical sales practices in our retail banking business.
But a week after that mea culpa in the Senate, the Wells Fargo CEO is forced to pay up $41 million to get out in front of alleged fraud to customers and alleged abuse of his own employees. That's next time on The Takeaway, weekday afternoons at 3 on 93.9 FM.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I want to update you now on the train crash. If you haven't heard yet, this is at the Hoboken Terminal, and a commuter train from New York. It started in Spring Valley. It was the 723 from Spring Valley, barreled into the station at the end of the tracks at Hoboken Terminal without stopping, and crashed, injuring more than 100 people, some of them critically, and the authorities, at least CNN and the New York Times, are now reporting there is at least one fatality in addition to more than 100 people injured. Witnesses reported seeing one woman trapped under concrete and many people bleeding after the train, an NJ Transit train, crashed at Hoboken Station. We have multiple injuries, multiple critical injuries right now, said Jennifer Nelson, a spokeswoman for NJ Transit. She says she doesn't know yet how fast the train was going when it ran into the rail bumper at the end of the line. TV footage and photos from the scene show damage to the rail car and extensive structural damage to the Hoboken Station, which is kind of a historic structure, if you know Hoboken Station. So, you know, pales in comparison to human death and injury, but that seems to be another sad aspect of this, perhaps major structural damage to the historic Hoboken Station. According to one passenger appearing on Channel 4, the next thing I know, we're plowing through the platform. It was for a couple of seconds, but it felt like an eternity. Nancy Beto, a passenger on the train, also told Channel 4 that the train didn't slow as it pulled into the station. Quote, it just never stopped. It was going really fast, and the terminal was basically the brake for the station. That passenger said the train was crowded, particularly the first two cars, because they make for an easy exit into the Hoboken station and onto the PATH train. A lot of people make that connection to get into Manhattan. Passengers in the second car broke the emergency windows to get out. This passenger, Mr. Shaw, told Channel 4, I saw a woman pinned under concrete. A lot of people were bleeding. One guy was crying. The train finally came to a halt in a covered area between the station's indoor waiting area and the platform. A metal structure covering the area collapsed. So we will continue to bring you updates. We have WNYC reporters at the scene. Richard Hake will come back in with more updates as we get more information. Plus, we'll have a major update in our newscast in about 15 minutes. But we will continue to bring you what we know about this train crash of an NJ Transit train as it reached the terminal in Hoboken. And again, it was the 723 out of Spring Valley, we are told. And CNN and the New York Times reporting more than 100 injured and at least one fatality. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and back to the political campaign now. We've been talking about the weakness that Hillary Clinton has compared to what she needs for a comfortable victory in November among the demographics that actually support her much more than they support Donald Trump. Young voters who may have voted for Bernie Sanders, but may, according to the polls, vote in some fairly large numbers for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or stay home. African-American and Latino voters, who President Obama has been appealing to directly, especially African-American voters, but who the polls show, while almost nobody's for Trump in black America, Hillary Clinton just may not get the turnout that Barack Obama got in 2008 and 2012 enough to make the difference in all the swing states that she needs. So before we gave you that update on Hoboken, we invited black callers to call in and tell us what you're thinking. How's your enthusiasm level? Is it enough to show up? What do you think about this problem with potential turnout that Hillary Clinton has in the community? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with Elizabeth in Brooklyn. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air on WNYC. Hi.
Hi.
So tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I will definitely be voting for Hillary Clinton. I believe that it is our moral obligation, after everything we've been exposed to with Donald Trump, to cast our vote for Hillary Clinton. And I also, Brian, want to tie it back in to your earlier callers with the millennials and their sort of voting, their conviction, and their consciousness, they continually refer to it. And I really admire that. I mean, that's fantastic. At the same time, for progressives, for liberals who worked so hard and have made such strides in terms of changing policy and shifting consciousness as it pertains to so many of our social and economic issues, and there's so many other things that we have to do, that a vote for one of these fringe candidates, like Dr. Stein, who I respect, Gary Johnson, would set us back so much. And 4 years is a long time. And to give Donald Trump a Republican Senate, a Republican House, control of what happens with the Supreme Court, it can cause so much setbacks. Mm-hmm. For progressives, for liberals, for justice in this country.
And Elizabeth, I'm going to leave it there and get some other voices on, but thank you so much. Please call us again.
Thank you.
And Elizabeth really echoing the president. So here's somebody who's not convinced. Taher in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Taher, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually not only a black citizen, I'm actually a millennial as well. And there's a big gap between Hillary Clinton and us because the difference between the older community and with her and the younger community that we have our history, especially in the black community, we know that she was a Goldwater girl, which a man who actively worked against with segregation. We also know that in regards to her dealing with a Black Lives Matter, a Black Lives Matter person at one of her dinners, she actually forced the person to leave when she was questioned in regards to her statement about being a super predator. So when it comes to the Black community in general, she doesn't really hit a good chord because we have the history to back it up. This is the first time a real presidential candidate really can't basically, I'll say, lie in regards to the history because all of her history is there. Because due to the internet, we have everything we can just go back on and look at it. And she has never really been too strong on Black policies or anything of the sort. So as a millennial, I'm probably going to be voting for Jill Stein in regards to it. And I know that Donald Trump is a very dangerous man to get into office, but it's the level of conviction that we see at this point where it's like we can no longer just give our vote to the Democratic Party because they're the Democratic Party, essentially.
So a lot of Clinton supporters would push back and say the things you cited, while they're real, pale in comparison to the things that she has done on the policy level and in politics in general that help Black America, and that she's apologized for saying super predators in the context of the crime bill in the 90s. It's been a long, 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 long time since she was a Goldwater girl. She was a kid. She wasn't even a college student, I don't think. And, you know, now she's on board with a lot of Bernie stuff, like some of the things I mentioned before. She's for tuition-free public college for 80% of Americans, a tax hike for people making over $500,000 a year, paid parental or family leave for both men and women for 12 weeks, a $12 federal minimum wage, expanding health insurance to more Americans, which she tried to do even when she was first lady and, you know, very much to the benefit of African Americans. Some people, some Black activists call Obamacare the biggest civil rights measure in a generation, campaign finance reform, all of that stuff, and that should way outweigh, the Clinton supporters would say, the few things that you mentioned.
Well, I'm not going to say that only because the 94 crime bill essentially destroyed a generation of Black fathers in regards to growing up with their communities and helping the new generation in coming up. She definitely did help with in regards to a lot of things you said, but she also really more piggybacked on a lot of things that Bernie Sanders was pushing when she was dealing with Bernie Sanders, when it came to the point where she was debating Bernie Sanders and she saw Bernie Sanders had a lot of the ears of the millennials because of what he was saying. It got to the point where she was basically just piggybacking off of his words. She, like, for instance, when they were stating the fight for 15 in New York City, I was very disappointed in de Blasio in stating that she was the one who was fighting for it when she didn't say anything about it until she was debating with Bernie Sanders.
How bleak do you think Trump world might be if he's president of the United States?
Oh, man, I'm terrified. And I think that's a lot of the reason why a lot of people are deciding to vote for Hillary. It's more of a lesser of two evils type of situation as opposed to who's really good for not only just the Black community, who's good for the middle class, who's good for the poor, who's good for the poor, Tara, and so on and so forth.
Tara, thanks so much. Call us again.
No problem.
Frank in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in swing state Pennsylvania. Hi, Frank. Thank you for calling in.
Hello. Good morning, Brian. Long-time listener.
Glad you're on.
Yes. I'm a former Bernie, very staunch Bernie supporter. I've been involved in, working on campaigns ever since I was 12 years old. My father was very politically active in the Democratic Party, though I have never been a registered Democrat until this year, just so I can vote for Bernie Sanders. I'm a socialist, but I became a Democrat just so I can vote for Bernie Sanders in the Pennsylvania primary. And now, I think this election is just too important. And I really think it's saying, like, with the lesser two evils, I really think that's setting up a false equivalency from the left. And I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I said that I thought, you know, I'll vote for it, but I won't, you know, volunteer. But now, because the stakes are so high and Pennsylvania is close, it's okay, you know, Jill Stein vote in New York. because, I mean, Clinton's going to win that. But here in Pennsylvania, it actually matters. So I'm thinking I might actually double back and have to change my mind and actually go out and volunteer for Clinton just because the stakes are too high.
And, you know, I've heard, I don't know how, on what scale this might actually be able to do anything, but there's something called vote swapping. Have you heard of this, or vote trading, where people in safe states like New York will promise to vote for Jill Stein, usually I think is around who this comes up, if a Stein or Bernie supporter in a state like Pennsylvania promises to vote for Clinton so that it runs up the total national vote for Jill Stein, but it doesn't threaten the country with the prospect of Trump actually getting elected by winning those swing state electoral votes. Have you heard about anything like that?
I have not heard about it. I find it intriguing, though fraught with peril.
Frank, thank you. Well, did you want to say something else about that? You can.
Only thing else I would like to say is that what I've found through this entire process and what I've learned through this entire process is that a lot of times, and it pains me to say this, though, because I've been in leftist politics my entire life, 46 years old, been doing this since I was 16, and I think what I've learned now is that on the left, we have political extremists just as they are on the right, just as they are evangelicals, and they have the same bad traits on the left. They are impervious to facts. They run up false. They make up false equivalencies. And I think, I think they can't see sometimes the forest through the trees. And, you know, sometimes we always can't be inspired. Sometimes the candidate won't tick every box. This is definitely, on my part, a defensive vote. But, you know, this is the world we live in, and sometimes pragmatism must outweigh idealism. And that's all I got.
Frank, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. We could obviously continue with this for a much longer time, but we're going to resume our coverage of the train crash at Hoboken Terminal. So thanks to all of you in part one among millennials, part two among African-American voters. I realize there's overlap there as there was among the callers, but those are among the most key demographics that tend to lean Hillary, but not enough that it hasn't caused some major concern as these polls come in and seem to show not enough in some of the important swing states. And so as we played clips from earlier, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, and Bernie Sanders all out trying to make the case yesterday, largely specifically to millennials and African Americans. And so, of course, our coverage of the race will continue.